Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning, church family. We are spending 3 weeks on the question that Brandon raised on Easter morning. This is the question. How are we to respond to, to the reality-altering revelation of Easter? That is the question we get to spend 3 weeks on. Last week, we read through the disciples' response on the road to Emmaus, where their hearts burned within as Jesus interpreted to all to them in all of the scriptures the things that concerned himself. Today, we catch up with Peter as he encounters and responds to the reality of the risen Jesus, and this is found in John chapter 21. This is in this three-part mini-series, we are practicing a spiritual discipline of reading the scriptures. It's called meditation. This is where we slow down to focus on a word or a phrase that catches our attention, all the while interacting with God and listening to him in the scripture passage. This practice can be done for any part of scripture. But because we are focusing and interested in Jesus, in how Jesus' disciples responded to his resurrection, which involves story and setting, it involves relationship and emotional responses, we're taking a little bit of a bigger section or chunk of scriptures because we want to hear the fuller story. If we were to do this for our kind of personal devotional time, this kind of meditation where we focus on a word or a phrase, it involves reading a section many times over, slowly and methodically. But for our corporate time today, we're only going to read it twice. And we're going to read this passage twice for a few reasons. So last time I kind of gave us the what, I set up how we're going to do it. Today I want to kind of set up why we're doing it. I've given a few reasons. So first, reading this twice here, it plants our whole selves in the moment, in the present moment, right here, right now. It helps us to become aware of what God is doing with us and among us. Second, it helps us to remember and it allows us to carry the story better within us throughout the week. We won't forget it as easily. And third, the more we hear the story, the more it can do its work in our hearts. So those are kind of the reasons why. So my hope in having us all practice this spiritual discipline is to help kind of demystify interacting with God and to actually normalize it so that it can become common activity that we all enjoy and that we all get to talk about with each other. Talk about it in our small groups, in our family discussions. And this is especially helpful in training our kids how to interact with God in the scriptures. I have two wonderful people that are going to actually be reading the passage. And you're not just going to hear me. But to begin this meditation, let's slow down ourselves just for a moment. So relax our muscles, get in a comfortable position, and breathe out slowly. It kind of calms our hearts and it aligns our minds and our bodies. Allow the noise and the clutter of our minds to settle down just a little bit. And we get to open up our hearts to the presence of God who's already with us. So take just a few breaths, and we'll have Brian read us John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. And as you listen, see what word or what phrase catches your attention and grabs your heart.
After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me."
Last week, we took a moment of quiet reflection to sit with the word or the phrase that caught our attention. This morning, though, I invite you to share with somebody close by that word or that phrase that stood out to you, and kind of what feelings came up with it. You've got a couple minutes to do this, to share and then to hear from the other. And so it should get a little noisy in here. That's okay. I'll call us back in a couple minutes, all right? Any questions? No? I'm not going to answer them anyway. Go for it. All right, if you haven't heard somebody's, this is probably going to be a good time to switch if you've been extra chatty. Well, so that was kind of an experience, huh? Little change up. It's okay. We're going to read it again. Not my voice, thankfully. So I invite you now, as we read it a second time, You talked with somebody next to you. Now talk with God. Listen to God. And kind of hold up as an offering that word or that phrase. And listen as Paula now shares and reads the scripture. And pay attention, all right? Pay attention to how God might be interacting with you during this time.
After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me."
I hope you've had a chance to share that word or that phrase that stood out to you with somebody else. And with God during that second reading. Like last week, I want to share and kind of model a little bit what stood out to me and kind of spend some time on it. And for me, it was in verse 15 that stood out, when they had finished breakfast. kind of ties the two scenes together. This meal that Jesus invited the disciples to, and especially Peter, it's brilliant. It was on the boat by the shore, possibly after another frustrating night of fishing, that Jesus first called Peter to become his disciple. His first interaction. And so smelling the fishy marine layer, hearing the waves lap on the shore or on the boat, hearing the birds chirp, feeling the shoreline breeze wisp his hair and the rocky sand between his toes, Peter can't help but to remember his first interactions with Jesus. And it is in this setting that Jesus sits down to have a meal. Now, we may read over this quickly, but there is nothing quick about having a meal with Jesus. With all the sights and sounds and smells and feelings of his first encounter with Jesus, Peter's eyes fall upon the charcoal fire and another set of memories, much more painful and agonizing this time, engulf his heart and his mind. Staring into the embers and the flames, Peter is brought face to face with his last encounter with Jesus, the worst experience of his life. I can imagine Peter avoiding Jesus' eyes as they all sat around that charcoal fire. Those very same eyes that met his as he denied Jesus, his rabbi, his Lord, his friend. I wonder if Peter said anything during the whole meal or if he was consumed with flashback after flashback of his time spent with Jesus. I mean, his entire relationship with Jesus was before him. It was held within and around this meal. And then the moment comes, and Jesus speaks directly to Peter. There's no denying that Jesus is about to bring up something, some painful, unfinished business. I can imagine Peter's stomach twisting and turning and knotted up as Jesus turned his face to him, just like when he wept bitterly after denying Jesus that horrible night. First century Judean culture and tradition dictates that there's no way Jesus would have ever taken Peter back as a disciple or a follower. Peter basically divorced himself from Jesus when he denied him publicly, a public divorce. And it wasn't just one time he denied him, but three times. It was like Peter threw his relationship with Jesus into that fire that awful night to be burned up. He knew it. The other disciples knew it, and Jesus knew it too. I can imagine Peter bracing himself for the inevitable punishment or verbal lashing or whatever was going to surely come his way. I can imagine Peter wanting to endure it so that in some sense he could pay for his crimes against Jesus. You know you're in trouble when your full name is the first thing that comes out of somebody's mouth, don't you? Simon, son of John. It's like hearing your first, middle, and last name, right? Peter's in for it. I wonder if the other disciples are like kind of wanting to see what's going to happen. But then Jesus usually does the unexpected, doesn't he? Instead of punishment, Peter hears an invitation. In the place of condemnation, Peter receives restoration. Far from rejection and abandonment, Jesus extends partnership and responsibility. With the first moments and the last moments, and all of the other moments in between of their relationship, it was held up, totally exposed for the rest of the disciples to see who are around the charcoal fire. As all of Peter and his life and his choices are in full focus, Jesus asks Peter to confess the truth that he was unable to declare that dark and fearful night. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. I can imagine Peter just blurting out, muddling out. How many times over these past 11 days since he denied Jesus has Peter yearned to say those words to Jesus? How many times has Peter beaten himself up, condemned himself, punished himself, felt isolated and alone because of what he did to Jesus? A week and a half is plenty of time for shame and regret to grow into despair, into hopelessness. But Jesus doesn't just ask Peter this one time. Jesus is going after the whole enchilada here, every root, every hidden and painful spot in Peter's life. We see Jesus being slow and thorough and surprisingly gentle with Peter. Three times he asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Jesus does not ignore the weightiness of Peter's actions with a, there, Peter, it wasn't so bad. Jesus doesn't minimize the relational rift Peter caused between them. No, Jesus invites Peter to confess and bring to light the whole truth, every fear-filled denial. Jesus reached down to the very bottom of Peter's pain and regret and failure, and he planted a garden of life and love and healing and purpose in its place. How did Peter respond to the reality-altering revelation of the risen Christ? Well, we catch a glimpse of it in verses 18 and 19. Peter will end up dying for his faith in Christ, becoming a bold and courageous martyr in response to Jesus' love for him. So as you come back to that word or that phrase that stood out to you this morning, you're invited to talk with God about a time in your life that still holds pain, shame. Bring it before him. There is no place in your heart or mind or life that Jesus is unwilling to enter into with you. There's no sin or betrayal. There's no secret. There's no addiction, no regret. There's no pain that you caused or that was done to you that will be too much for Jesus to gently acknowledge and tend and bring back to life. And remember, do you remember the disciples? They almost kind of disappeared, didn't they? Well, they're still there at the charcoal fire too. They're around Peter while Jesus is restoring and reinstating him. And what I mean by this is that you and I are meant to interact with Jesus and his body. Jesus and his bride. Jesus and, well, the faces around you that we got to talk with and look at. James chapter 5, verse 16 puts it this way. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." To confess something it's real easy. It simply means to tell the truth. Tell the truth about your life and let the light of reality in. So just like Peter, you and I were invited to sit with Jesus and maybe a close friend or a spouse or a family member and to begin the healing process. May I pray for us? So Jesus, you know everything. You know that we love you. You know that we have fear, that we have doubt, that we have frustration, that that we're a big, big puddle of mess, Lord. You know everything. And yet you take the time to set up this beautiful scene. You take time to set up a beautiful scene in our hearts. It is painful. Because death is painful. Because sin is painful. Because brokenness is painful. But you don't let us wallow in there, constantly repeating it day after day, week after week. That would be hell. No, you step in and you invite us. You restore us. You give us responsibility. Lord, how can we respond to your love, to your interaction and invitation? Basically, Lord, how do we respond to your resurrection? So, Lord, speak with us throughout the week. It's in your name. Amen.